are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me. That's where you're entertained and educated at the exact same time. Kind of like what I call being inspired and motivated. And of course I call that motivation.
Tune in, lean in, listen up.
Welcome to OMG, the O. Mara Gale Radio Show. I'm your host, Mara Gale, actress, author, evangelist, and content creator. I'm believing this will be a Maravational experience. Our intent is to empower, inspire, motivate, and equip. You see, we broadcast the beauty of beginnings by sharing God's promises through personal stories. If you're tuning in for the first time, welcome to OMG. We hope you'll become a long-time listener. And for those of you that have been rolling with me for a while, thanks for adding such sweetness to my hot tea. There's something for everyone, so be sure to tune in, lean in, and listen up on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. We're keeping it real. Real triumphs, real tragedies, real tips, tools, and truths. And so I am super excited because I get to welcome to the conversation someone that I had an opportunity to hear teach Sunday school this past Sunday at Vernon Park Church of God. And when this gentleman shared the message, I ended up texting two of my friends who immediately said it spoke directly to them. I knew I had to have them on the show, and I'm super excited to introduce to my OMG listeners none other than Pastor Frank Miller. Welcome to the conversation, Pastor Frank.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome. So I'm going to just dive right in. We were discussing in Bible study, we were talking about Matthew, and it was actually about Jesus being tempted. And you set up the whole situation, but one of the reasons that I believe this conversation is necessary is because some folks in 2020, it started off kind of funky. You know, it didn't start off the way they hoped. Truth be told, there are some people that were waiting for 2019 to end due to disappointment, dysfunction, debt, and doubt. And when you shared this message on Sunday, I believe that it could locate some of our listeners right where they are. But more importantly, I think it could shine some light and share some hope. So let's first just share with them what the scripture, where they could find the scripture. We may not necessarily, of course, we're not going to read it and do a Bible study, but you shared some practical nuggets, and it was taken originally from Matthew 4, mm-hmm. verses 1 through 11, and you started with the single-minded obedience. So can you just unpack a little bit of what single-minded obedience would mean so that I can kind of get our listeners in the mood and the mindset for how we're going to unpack this in Jesus and how we get tempted along the way?
Absolutely. Well, the Bible talks about that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so that's just referring to how we can serve or sort of worship kind of two things at the same time, mm-hmm. sort of two ideals. And so to be single-minded means that, you know, I'm totally focused. I am only focused on pleasing God, worshiping God. And so that's kind of where we went with the single-minded, just being totally obedient to God and not sort of submitting to other things, because you will be unstable in everything in your life if you're trying to obey different things in your life.
And then we started walking through these scriptures. So I want to kind of unpack. We went to Matthew, I believe it was 4:1-3, And and we were talking about how when the enemy came, how he came and what ended up happening. And I guess we could read that particular one in order for our listeners to kind of get a general idea of where we're going to kind of go with this. Okay, so Matthew 4:1 says, "Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." And it kind of goes on and it talks about all the ways that the enemy tempted him and Jesus comes back. But you broke something down to the marrow and you were reminding us, because it wasn't that Jesus wanted to be tempted, but the Spirit, you said, led him to be tempted. And then you brought it back home to us. So unpack that a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, right before this temptation scene kind of came up, Jesus had just been baptized. And there we saw the Father God kind of make this declaration in front of all of these people, and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove, the scripture said. And so God makes this declaration to say, "This is my Son, whom I am well pleased." So now there's this public statement that Jesus is the one. He's the Son of God. And so the Spirit, the Bible said that the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted. And the way we looked at that was, you know, going into the wilderness, we find that this whole idea of wilderness, other places in the Bible, occurred with the children of Israel and how they stepped into the wilderness after leaving slavery for so many years. And so it was God sending them into a place to test them, to get them ready for the next phase of their lives. And so that's what happened with Jesus. He comes from obscurity. Nobody knows him. God makes this huge declaration, and now he's going to this place to be tempted because he's getting ready to go into 3 years of ministry. He's literally getting ready to change history. And so before God allows him to step into that, he gives him a moment to test him to see, you know, if he can be faithful. And not only is it a lesson for Jesus to know if, not a lesson just for God to know if Jesus can be faithful, but it's also a lesson for Jesus to see what's in him and how strong he is. And so he goes through this wilderness to be tempted, to be tested. And as I believe, as a preparation for what was getting ready to happen in his life, in the next phase of his life.
And you know what's so interesting and relatable to that is, I can literally recall instances where I have went through what I'd like to call hell on earth, mm-hmm. right before something major happened, and to me it was like I was being tested. So that my muscles of strength and my muscles of endurance and my muscles of trusting God would be sharpened, would be strengthened in the midst of all of that. And mm-hmm. then it's not until we're in the valleys and in the dark place that we actually realize what's inside of us, what we're really made of. But you know, one of the things, Pastor Frank, I wanted to ask you is, how many times do believers get to that wilderness place, get to that dark season, get to that challenging moment, and instead of leaning into God, they mm-hmm. end up thinking God caused the problem, or
yeah.
that God, you know what I'm saying? People blame God. He get bad press for stuff like that.
Exactly. And we get so disappointed in God. But really, you know, in many ways, it's God allowing us to see what's in us. As he's taking us to the next place, you know, because many times we don't know what we can handle. Oftentimes, I think there's a saying like, you don't know what you can handle until you have to go through it. And so when you go through those things, it's a lesson for you. But sometimes we get distracted by what happened and just literally blame God for it and to say, you know, this, if, you know, if I was never serving God, this wouldn't have happened. Or how can God allow this to happen in my life? And so we kind of get distracted by that. We kind of look at the situation and see how bad it is and how difficult it is instead of saying, God, what can I learn out of this? What can I get out of this? What do you want me to know about you in this? And what do you want me to know about myself?
Yes. You know, I have this phrase that I tell people, and my OMG listeners are probably very familiar with it, but I say, you know, the word talks about when you fall into diverse temptation to count it all joy. And I tell people counting is an addition game. So when you fall into diverse temptation, you get to add something to you, add a different trust in God, add a different belief that he will and is able and capable, add to you more time in the word, studying, add more time with him, seeking his face to find out what, you know, what can I do in the middle of this situation? So that's how I view that whole scripture of adding something to you when you fall into diverse temptation, because sometimes that's the only time you get to do some workout. I mean, when things are really good, people ain't searching the scripture to find out how to identify their problem.
Exactly.
When things are good, they just rolling. Why do you think people get distracted by, let's say, the tempter? Because this was the enemy. The enemy is, of course, telling Jesus, you know, the first thing I think he tells him is something about the bread, right? He tells him you turn the bread into something. Because, oh, that's right, Jesus had been fasting.
Yes. Yes.
Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and for 40 nights, so he was hungry. That's what the word says. And then the tempter came and told him, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.
Because, well, the first thing we see with that is, like, you know, the tempter came when Jesus was hungry. So it kind of lets us know that, you know, these temptations come in our lives when we're at our most vulnerable, whether we're physically, you know, vulnerable, physically tired, emotionally hurt. You know, we can think of countless times where, you know, we may have been angry or hurt, and we've probably said or did some things that we later on regret, because it's at those times where the temptations come to do something that may be unwise or just not good for you. And so, you know, that's what the tempter did with Jesus. He waited until he was hungry to present this first temptation of turning the stone into bread. And, you know, like you said, Jesus was fasting at that time. And so, you know, the question we kind of ask ourselves, well, is turning stone to bread a sin? You know, is it something bad? You know, but we think about it. I mean, Jesus turned water into wine. So, I mean, turning stone to bread is not necessarily a sin, but it was something that was going to distract Jesus from what he was supposed to be doing in this season in his life. And in this season, he was fasting. He was spending time with God. He was taking on this discipline to, you know, just removing the plate, just to focus on God. And so if he would have turned that stone to bread, you know, that would have set a stage for him to always kind of manipulate things to get his way in his life. And so that was a discipline for him to turn, you know, to not turn that stone into bread, and to focus on what he was supposed to do in this season, and that was to fast and focus on God at this time while he was in this wilderness.
All right. And then it goes on, of course, Jesus answered and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of his mouth. And then we go to verse 5. And it says, the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand at the highest point of the temple and said to him, if you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. All right, unpack that, because, you know, when we read that scripture, we're like, oh, the devil tempting God, you know, come up here, throw yourself off. You know, you're not going to die. It's not like you're going to commit suicide. And right. So that sets up something. And that's what the enemy does to us. So unpack that and then share with us how that impacts us, how we fall for the okie doke.
Yeah. So with that particular one, the devil presented a scripture. This is the first time we see him presenting a scripture to Jesus now. Lets us know that, you know, well, the enemy does know the word. And so when he presents this scripture, it's in Psalms 91, but he takes the scripture totally out of context because the scripture is really about trusting in God, even when things around you are not going so well. The scripture talks about how, you know, though there may be diseases around you, it will not touch you. Just having that trust in God to know that he's going to take care of you, trusting in God's plan. But the devil took that scripture out of context and said, hey, well, God's not going to let anything happen to you, so go ahead and jump. And so that was a temptation to really question God's plan and purpose in his life. Instead of trusting in God to save us and to whatever happens in our lives. That was a point to say, okay, let's try to force God's hand in this, you know, make God's plan work, you know. And one thing that's interesting, that the devil brought up, that that the angels would come and minister to him. But we find later at the end of all of the temptations, the angels came at that time. So it was like, you know, saying that, you know, hey, you can make God get this, you know, make God do this. But God was going to bring those ministering angels in his time.
Anyway.
And I think that's what happens in our lives. That's how we get tricked a lot into trying to make things happen when things aren't going so well in our lives. You know, we just try to force God's hand in many ways, because we question his plan. We question his timing. You know, we sit back and pray like, God, how long is it going to take for you to save me in this situation? How long is it going to take, you know, how long do I have to go through these things? But it's really, can we trust God's timing? Because God's timing, which is part of his plan, is perfect. And so if we try to step out of those things too early, we're going to mess something up. You know, and just like Jesus, if he would have jumped from that highest pinnacle, everybody would have saw what was going on, and it would have been a bad situation for him. Because, you know, again, just jumping, he probably would have lost his life. You know, and so, you know, that's kind of the same thing that happens in our lives. We fall for these temptations of questioning God's plan, and we end up making things worse than they ever were.
I'm going to take a slight detour, because I believe this is a teachable moment. A lot of times, you know, I like to share with my listeners, you know, something that either I've lived through or something that my guest has lived through, so that they understand we all fall short. We all fall into temptation. And even though at this juncture, you know what this scripture means, you know how to apply the scripture, you know how to teach this scripture. Was there ever a time in your life where you had your back against the wall, and you were tempted to do something and actually, you know, fail for it, and then realize, oh snap, you know, that was a test. I was supposed to pass that test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I can think about a time. This was at the time I was pursuing my master's degree in school. I was attending Loyola University, trying to get my master's degree in divinity, and I was working part-time at the same time, and, you know, I just got married. And so we were getting ready to have a child. And so, you know, I really needed my job, of course, to, you know, prepare for things. And so I knew God told me, you know, to get ready to step away from this job. And I was like, okay, absolutely not. You know, I'm getting ready to, you know, I'm like, I cannot do that. Literally, God, like, really forced me out the door. There were some things that happened at the job, because it was like three African-American males there, and there was a comment that was made that a customer had heard, and they could not tell which one of us said it. And you come to find out, none of us actually said it at all. But and they actually removed all of us from the job. And so now I'm sitting back, okay, God, I heard you say this. Now I'm just out here now. But God set it up so that the moment that I lost that job, he put me on a trajectory that was, like, so much better for me. It was literally after that time, my professors came to me and said, hey, you need to have a full-time internship. We didn't know about that. And so I had to get a full-time internship, and then during that time, literally, God sent some people in my life to say, hey, we want to offer you a job in the school district, and it came out of nowhere. I didn't seek it, but it was because, you know, I did not listen to God. He had to force me out the door, and that brought more worry on my life, so I'm like, now I'm out here, and I don't want to be, but let me just thank God that he was able to, he opened those doors. And had I just continued to just try to stay on that job, I think I wouldn't be where I am today as far as working in the field of education if God had not forced me out that door. And I wish I would have listened, because maybe things would have happened a little sooner. But, yeah, right. I think about that, you know, just when God says it, it's in his plan, and we have to move on then, because I know it's difficult. I know it may sound strange, but he sends us through those times to help us, because he has something better for us and in store for us.
You know, Pastor Frank, that was a great example of watching God provide for you, even though you were disobedient or delayed, I should say, in when you were supposed to go. He was like, oh, you're not going to leave. You're like, no, look, Dad, I know you know I got a wife. Look, I know you know we just got married. I know you know we got bills. I know you know we got a baby on the way, too, right? So,
exactly.
No, I'm not just going to leave. And he's like, oh, so you don't think I'm going to provide for you? So you don't think I know you got a baby and a new wife? But God still got the glory, because after you were accused and the other guys were accused, he still allowed all these other doors, from the full-time internship and then the job in the school district, that put you on this whole other trajectory that might not have actually taken place, because that's what Daddy does. He says all things work together for the good. And
absolutely,
a lot of times we just don't trust that he means us in this situation. You know,
exactly.
we're like, oh, not me. I see it working together for you, but I don't necessarily see it working together for me. So
let me
unpack, or ask you to unpack, this next verse, because we kind of go into this whole deal of Jesus goes into saying, you know, hey, it's written. This is verse 7, you guys, of Matthew 4. He says, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And then 8, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. He said to him, all this I will give to you. He said, if you bow down and worship me. And then Jesus, of course, comes back with the, Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left, the angels came and attended to him. So break down what that means for us. You know, Jesus, of course, answered in the scripture, because he knows the word, he is the word. But then how, when that didn't work, the devil came back even bigger, take him to a higher place.
Yes, he did. He did. He took him to the higher place to let him now see everything. Now he has these things in his sight. And so he sees all of these kingdoms. They just look so wonderful. And the devil is saying, hey, I own this. This is mine. You know, you can have this. And so that was a way to cause Jesus to question God's person, to question God's existence, what God has, you know, just to question all of that. And that happens in our lives as well, where we get into situations and it causes us to doubt, man, is this really God? I mean, can God really do this? You know, and even for some people, it makes them question, well, does God even exist? How could he allow these situations to happen? And so, you know, that temptation, you know, that's what happened in our lives. And we have to be like Jesus and be confident and know that, you know, hey, no, I serve only God. You know, Paul always talked about being confident in this, being confident. We cannot lose our confidence in who God is, even though we can question things and we see things that makes us wonder. And that's, you know, that's how it relates to that scripture for our lives. We get in those situations where we question God, and we just have to hold on, like the scripture says, to our confidence that God is who he says he is, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do.
Amen. So when you were sharing this lesson, you gave us a couple of P's. You gave us, I believe it was the provision.
Mm-hmm.
The devil tempts and makes you think there's a problem with God's provision. If he can get us doubting,
exactly,
if he can get us second guessing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we're thinking, oh, God ain't gonna make sure my wife is okay. He ain't gonna make sure, you know, I got enough money for my kid. So he starts sowing those seeds, right?
Yes. And that sends that distraction in our lives, because oftentimes we think that temptation is only about falling for sin, but it's really just a distraction from our focus. And we tend to do that. We get distracted from where God has us. We question God's provision, question, is God going to come through? And that's the point of the temptation, is to get us off of our square, to make us totally not see where God is in the situation now, and that he has us, like the scripture says, engraved in the palm of his hand. He knows us. He loves us. And so why wouldn't he take care of us? You know, why can't we trust his plan? Because he owns everything. The earth is his. So let's trust in that. Let's believe in that.
Amen. Yeah. Okay, and then you talked about the provision, how that's what he comes to make us do. Then the devil tries to make Jesus question God's plan or God's purpose. And how many times did we find ourselves going, did I miss you, Lord? Did you really tell me to do that? I mean, so it really trips us up. So break that down a little bit, because I know that somebody who's listening to this conversation, who's listening to this podcast or the broadcast, and they're going, you know, I don't know if the Lord is meaning this. I don't know if he said that to me, or they're second guessing it, and they're really kind of being tripped up because things around them are looking scattered. You know, 2020, they were like, 2019 is gone. I'm ready for 2020. And they went in it ready, and all heck is broken loose. You know, they didn't get the promotion, or the car broke down, or somebody got sick, and then they had to miss some days of work. And so everything around them, Pastor Frank, is like in chaos, is in turmoil. So share with them how that's what happened with Jesus, and how God, you know, can come in the midst of all of that.
Yeah, you know, I think about my situation, you know, when I felt God saying, you know, it's time to leave the job, you know, I questioned that, because I would begin to think, like, you know, God wouldn't do that. You know, he wouldn't tell me to leave a situation. Maybe I'm hearing wrong. We begin to question ourselves. And a lot of times we may not even be questioning God. We may even question, did I hear that right? You know, am I in the right place to even hear from God? So we start questioning ourselves. But I truly believe that God always confirms what he spoke to us. And when he confirms it, then we have to rest in that. Even though it doesn't feel safe, you know, even though it doesn't feel right, we just have to move on it. Because a lot of times I do feel that if it feels totally safe, it's not God. God always takes us to another level, and that other level in our life is always scary because we're used to being on the level where we are. And so if we just trust that, hey, this doesn't make sense, but that means that God has to be in this because it doesn't make sense to me, and we have to just move in that. It's difficult to do that, you know, because we want that sure foundation, you know, we want to feel secure, but just like Jesus did, you know, we can tell that Jesus was in the Word. He was reading, he studied, so that when these temptations come and came into his life, he was able to respond with the scripture. He was able to say, you know, no, I know God is better than that. I know my Father wouldn't do that to me, so let me just hold on to where he's taking me. It's rough now. It's, you know, and I don't understand it. I thought things were going to be better now. But he has better for me if I just hold on to his plan. That's the whole thing about it. We have to hold on to his plan because we don't know what his plan is. God may not reveal his whole plan to us, but just resting and know that I know who God is. I know God is my Father, and I know he wouldn't allow things to just go bad for me. I know he has better things for me to come in. And that's what we have to hold on to, you know, and it's difficult, you know. Of course it's difficult, but again, if it wasn't difficult, you know, if it's difficult, it has to be God, because it's going to take us to new places.
It's that stretch. It's that uncomfortable place where we actually get to learn, A, what's inside of us, what we're made of, how to maneuver in a situation. You know, one of the beautiful lessons about failure, for example, is that failure is such a brilliant teacher. You know, and the word failure may not necessarily be something that most people like. It could be, you know, it could be the obstacle. You can call it the obstacle. But I've heard someone say, in every failure or obstacle, there is a seed of greater or equivalent benefit.
And I thought
about that. I was like, every failure or obstacle, in every failure or obstacle, there is a seed of greater or equivalent benefit, which means that no matter what situation we're in that seems like we're failing at, the lesson that I learned when my business failed, what mm-hmm. I learned in those things, I wouldn't have learned otherwise. Because exactly. there wasn't a need to learn better accounting skills or better communication skills. There wasn't a need for that. And so in those valley moments or in those obstacles or challenging moments is when God really gets to show me how strong my muscles are and to work some things out. And then when you learn it firsthand, ain't nothing better mm-hmm. than you know, not having to buy that lesson twice, right?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, because experience is definitely our best teacher, you know, and
yes.
and that's the best, that's the thing about it. We have to learn from our experiences, you know. As you said, you know, we can't be afraid to fail, you know, because if you're afraid to fail, you're afraid to move forward, afraid to move to the next step in your life. And again, you know, and it's because we get so comfortable where we are, God will always take us to the next place, higher and higher and higher. And so it's gonna require us to be uncomfortable sometimes. You know, you think about a baby. Sometimes babies, you know, when they're first learning to walk, they don't want to stand on their feet because it feels a little shaky. It feels a little different. Mm. But, you know, as they're trying and as they're failing, they're falling, they're learning, okay, I can take this next step. And then as they're taking the step, their legs are getting stronger. They're understanding the concept. And that's kind of like how we are as we are learning to walk in God, like, you know, like a child. You know, we were learning to get on our, you know, stand on our feet. We may fail sometimes, but that falling teaches us, okay, maybe we have to walk a little differently. Maybe we have to, you know, try it a little differently this way. And before we know it, we are walking in God, walking successfully in God and doing well and going to the next level in our life.
Yes, yes. You know, that reminded me, I saw a video recently and it was a story about, and it was actually captioned. It was a butterfly, a beautiful butterfly, but the story caption said, a woman saw a butterfly in a cocoon, and the butterfly was pecking its way, you know, pushing its way out, and it had a little bitty hole, but the butterfly couldn't get through the little hole. Well, after hours, the woman's still watching it. The next day, the butterfly still, you know, it's trying. It hasn't gotten through the little hole. So what does the woman do? She went, oh, I'm going to help the butterfly. So she opens up the cocoon and peels it back, and when she does, the butterfly's body was you know, was all swollen. And the wings were like little and shriveled. And so they thought, okay, sure, the butterfly's going to get better. You know, let a day or two go by. But the butterfly never changed its position. It stayed like that. The body was swollen and the wings were weak. Because what the woman didn't know by trying to help God, trying to help the butterfly, is that God built the butterfly so that it would strengthen its wings and so that it could be stronger. The wings would then have the strength to be able to fly, and the body would be more in proportion the way it was. But because the woman tried to help it, it never happened. And so that struggle, that strain sometimes is the very thing we need to work out the muscles called stick-to-itness, the muscle called faithfulness, the muscle called discipline, the muscle called trust, you know?
Yeah,
and we never get to that place if everything is easy peasy mac and cheesy, if everybody keeps bailing us out and doing the things for us that God wants us to learn on our own. Which will bring me to something else that I want you to unpack for our listeners. You talked about the third T, which was the devil wants us to question God's person. And and I think the phrase, you said something like, basically, God told you, but God ain't showed you. You know what I mean?
And how
many times does that happen where it's like God whispers something to us and we're like running for it. And then it's like, oops,
yeah,
he told me that, but it ain't manifesting. So unpack that a little bit so that people can kind of understand, you know, that this does happen, that, you know, it's not, there's nothing new under the sun, and being tempted isn't always a sin, you know, it's just how sometimes things go.
Yeah, you know, as you said, you know, he got tempted by seeing these things, and we tend to think that if we could physically see it, that means it's good or it's okay, and that's why we have a hard time with faith in God. But the thing is, that's where the faith comes in, because we actually are able to, we should be able to see it without physically seeing it, and trusting that God has it. You know, that's the whole idea of faith. You know, if God says, you know, you're going to be something one day, then you need to be it before you actually become it. You need to walk in it. You know, if he says you're going to own a business one day, even though you cannot see it at this time, you know, this is the time for you to see it in faith by prepping yourself, you know, learning about the business, connecting, networking, you know, be it before you become it. And that's where we get tripped up, because when we can't physically see it, when we say, oh, it, you know, it doesn't exist in our eyes, but in the spirit it exists. We just have to manifest it by walking in it and working toward it, and let the process come. And that's where Jesus was, you know, because the devil wanted him to see this, all of this thing, all of the kingdoms and everything. But Jesus had to understand, well, my Father has more than this little kingdom that you're showing me. So I know my Father is bigger than that. So I know God will give me more kingdoms than this. So, no, devil, you get out my way. And we have to do that same thing to say, hey, you know, I trust God enough to know that even though it's not here now, it's coming, and I'm going to walk in it until he brings it to my life.
That's it right there. You know, there used to be this, I want to say it was a song, you have to see it before you see it, or you'll never see it.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And that seeing it, you got to see it in faith before you see it in reality, or you'll never see it manifest. And
exactly.
And how many times do we give up before we get there? Which brings
me
to something else you were ministering on. You were talking about the Israelites, you know, what was supposed to be a few days took them what?
Yeah, 40 years. 40 years.
Yep.
Yes, absolutely.
To get there. Because of their, you know, their disobedience and all the things that took place. But God, he doesn't set out for us to take the long way.
Exactly.
he actually has a perfect plan, but he's not going to force us to go any particular way. And so if we're obedient and we're faithful and we're step in step, if we're lock in step with him, then we'll actually get there at the appointed time, and we won't have all those, you know, hiccups. It doesn't mean we don't have delays sometimes, because delays happen. You know, sometimes there's a battle in the heavenlies to try to get your blessing to you. But it does mean that if we're focused on where God wants us to go, and we're in constant communication with him, that we'll actually get there. So I want to use this last portion of OMG and our conversation to kind of just go through some practical steps for our listeners to kind of understand, now that they know the context of the word and they've heard the scripture. Let's just kind of have a dialogue about ways that we can, as believers, you know, lean on the word of God and not to our own understanding, or not be tempted when the devil tells you to do something, especially when it comes to, let's say, fasting, or when it comes to your family. Because one of the things that I know we should know is God doesn't lie, and God's not going to dangle something that's a sin in your face. You can't think that's God. Not God. That's the enemy when that happens. So you got to know the difference between when God is revealing something to you and when the enemy is trying to show you something. So is there some way that we can share with our listeners to kind of be able to discern maybe the difference between the two? Let's say somebody's like, oh, you know, you can get this promotion over here, but with this promotion, you know, what I need you to do is fudge on these accounting records, you know, just, you know, just do a little this, and then, you know, I'm going to promote you over here.
So
people get tripped up with that, but that's not how you sit and go, oh, God just blessed me with the promotion.
Right.
No.
Exactly. Yeah, because God will never cause us to do anything outside of our integrity. You know, he will always do things within his will. And if it causes us to have to sacrifice who we are, or to I say in a sense of diminish our influence through God, you know, with people or anything like that. I think that that's a sure sign to say, no, this, you know, this is not of God, because God would not call me to do that, to be anything less than he called me to be in that way. And I think in other ways to recognize, like, you know, in those tempting times, is to recognize when you are vulnerable, you know, because sometimes I think that what trips us up mostly is that we are so overconfident that we fail to really recognize our weaknesses and when we are vulnerable at times. And so, you know, it's just like a fighter, you know, when fighters or football teams, sports teams, they always watch tape of the opponent to see the weaknesses and to recognize things. And I think we need to do that in our lives, kind of reflect on times when we have, you know, fallen for those temptations or got distracted in the past and see, okay, how was God moving in that? How did I kind of mess those things up by not recognizing God or allowing that temptation to distract me? And we could, you know, take that time of reflection to see, okay, now how can I deal with this? You know, how can I do this differently this time around? And I think we can recognize that once we start to kind of unpack, you know, and look at those things and reflect on those times in our lives. Yeah.
That's good. That's good. Know when you're vulnerable, because sometimes we're overconfident and don't allow those temptations to distract us. So we've got a few minutes left, and I'm going to segue into this little section that I want to utilize Kobe as Kobe Bryant, the late Kobe Bryant, as an example of someone who was always striving to, like, do his best, play his best, be the best. I mean, I remember hearing him say, you know, that he believed he could beat Michael Jordan. People were like, man, you're crazy. That's some crazy stuff. But again, back to that lesson of seeing something before you see something, or you'll never see something. He saw himself as somebody great. He didn't see himself as an average Joe basketball player. He didn't see himself as doing just okay. And so share with our listeners how that kind of mentality, you know how they have that want to be like Mike back in the day. It used to be want to be like Mike. I have this phrase that I've been writing down now called just want to be like Kobe in that.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be brilliant at something. You know, I want to leave my stamp and my mark. I want that was a Mara-ism, or that Mara-mated me, or that was an OMG moment and meaning Omara Gale. You know, I want that. And so unpack that, or share a little bit, or drop some nuggets on how we can use that principle, which is, of course, a biblical principle in terms of study to show yourself approved, right?
Absolutely.
You know, and use that as a seed, and use that sphere of influence to do good.
Yes. You know, the thing about Kobe, like, he had that belief, and the way that he was being it before he became it. He worked toward it. You know, he would be at practice longer. He would be at practice earlier. He would always go the extra mile, because he said, in order for me to be better than Michael Jordan one day, I have to do more than Michael did. I have to work it. And I think that's the biggest thing that we can learn from him, is that the art of being it before you becoming it is all about doing everything in preparation for it. As you said, it's studying to show yourself approved. Maybe it's going back to school if need be, you know. Maybe it's, you know, learning a craft or learning about business or studying what it means to be married, you know, things like that. You have to kind of prepare yourself, because I think it's very foolish, if you will, to have this big dream and then just wait for it to fall on your lap, because it will never just be, you know, it would just never fall in your lap. And if it does fall in your lap, it won't last long. You know, I think that is important, that we have to have that work ethic. We have to have the drive and the heart in it. We have to continue to pray and fast and getting closer to God and allowing God to speak to us, you know, even in our relationship with God. You know, we can never, I know sometimes a lot of people pray, God, I want to have a closer relationship with you. Well, what are you doing on your end to have that closer relationship? You know, are you making time for him? You know, are you making room, you know, to have him in your life, to talk to him, to read his word and to just allow him to speak. So, you know, that's an area that I think so all of us need to work on, you know, just like Kobe did. Let's put the energy, let's put the time, because if that's something that we really want, then that's how you be it before you become it. That's how you get it before it comes. That's working in faith. That's what faith is. It's you know, it has to have action behind it. It has to have your energy behind it. And so when you do that, it comes to pass. When God's plan touches your faith and your action, God's perfect timing, great things happen. Great things happen for your life.
Yes, they do. I call it it's the currency of time and effort. You know, people think of currency as just money and dollars or whatever. It's like, no. There's the currency of time. You know, he was spending time. He was spending what was valuable to him in order to reap the value that he got later on. He was putting in the time, putting in the effort, and that's how you get to reap the reward. And like you said, you know, you can't expect something to drop out of the sky and put it in your lap. And if it does, you won't even be able to hold on to it. Because what it takes to get it or what it takes to hold on to it, if you haven't learned it, you'll lose it just as quick as you got it. It's the same with like losing weight. You know, some people lose weight real quick, but they never learn how to eat right. So what happens after they get that surgery? They get that little surgery, shrink that stomach. Next thing you know, they back 400 pounds.
Exactly.
They never learned how to actually eat properly or exercise properly. And so anything that happens quick, a quick fix, generally ends up meaning you could possibly lose it quickly as well.
Absolutely.
Well, Pastor Frank, is there anything else you want to share with our listeners? I am full from what you've shared, and I know that our listeners will be blessed by it. I thank God. You know, one of the things you have actually in your bio, you know, it's funny. I said, you know what, Lord, it just came right back to me. In your bio, you say something like, you want to have a yes for God or something like that in your bio, I believe it said.
Yes,
and I was tickled because I said, oh, when I asked you, you were like, huh? I said, Frank, Pastor Frank, would you come on the show? And you were like, me, what? You know, and I'm like, yeah. But then, you know, as with what your bio said, you know, you actually did. You had a yes. And I thank God that you had a yes in your spirit for him and the things of God. And because in you saying yes, other people get to have the lessons. They get to know more about how they can walk this thing out and how the enemy will come and tempt them and how not to be distracted. Because of your yes, somebody will be able to say no to the enemy the next time he invites himself to their house or to sit down at a meal at dinner time with them or to sit in their office cubicle and whisper to them something they should do that they know they shouldn't. They're going to be able to say no because you had a yes in your mouth to come on this show and break that down.
I thank God for that. Like I said, because like I said, naturally I am just a shy person. I kind of stay in the background. I don't have to have any attention. But like you said, you know, I've grown to kind of understand that if God brings on an assignment, if God is calling you to do something, that it's so important for you to do it, and that the little shortcomings that you think you have are nothing when it lines up with God's grace, and he will make all of those things happen. You know, he will do what he sent me to do. And so I just pray and just hope, you know, someone's life was touched by what was said, because like you said, we all deal with temptation. We all deal with things that distract us from where we need to be and what we're supposed to be doing. And, you know, I just think it would be, you know, just to help someone to understand that, hey, I recognize when the temptation comes, and I know that with God and with my effort, I can get through these things. So I just, you know, thank God for that.
That's awesome. Well, we appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you so much. I'm sure you OMG listeners were encouraged, blessed, inspired, and equipped. You know, a couple of just drive-by nuggets, and I'll start from the back and work my way back up. One of the things that you said was the art of being before you become it. And basically you said it was the art of preparation, you know, mm-hmm. and that's a nugget that any of you at this stage and whatever stage you are in life, it will help you, you know, because it was one thing when The Secret came out and everybody was putting on their vision board, oh, I'm mm-hmm. going to have that, I'm going to have that. But without doing the work,
yes,
you've got to do the work. Without doing the work, they're merely words and images and pictures on a bulletin board. And then you also shared with us about, you know, don't lose our focus, you know, don't allow the enemy to distract us from what God is calling us to do. Don't ever allow the enemy to make us doubt God, you know, to always mm-hmm. trust God. And then you reminded us that we can be vulnerable, like it's in our vulnerable moments that the enemy really comes and gets to us because he knows that we're at our weakest. And then you started at the beginning of the conversation, is how I want to end it. You said God is showing us what's inside of us. What mm-hmm. a beautiful thing to know what's inside of me. You know, most people don't get to see what's inside of them ever, you know, unless a school kid is dissecting a body, they get to see what's inside of somebody, but we never get to see what's on the inside. But when the Lord is taking us and allowing us to go through these different mountain experiences and valley experiences, he gets to show us what's inside of us, and we get a front row seat into our imperfections, into our insecurities, and into the things that we need to adjust, correct, or excavate out of us, which is mm-hmm. a beautiful gift that Daddy doesn't have to give, but because he loves us, he gives it freely and allows us to see ourselves so that we can grow and be better. I thank you so much Amen. For the nuggets. They were rich. I took copious notes. I hope our listeners take copious notes. You are listening to OMG, the Omara Gill Radio Show. I thank you for tuning in, leaning in, and listening up. Thanks for listening. I hope you are motivated. You can follow me on social media at Mara Gale on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, as well as YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe. Plus, you can always visit MaraGale.com to see exactly what I do, when I do it, and what I have done. Remember, you can catch OMG, the Old Mara Gale Radio Show, on Thursdays at UpToMeRadio.com. Also, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher app, and newly, we're new to Spotify. So we're available in a lot of places so that you can catch the show. And caring is sharing. So share the message with someone else. Again, Pastor Frank, thank you so much for parting the red seas of your world. We have grown.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're more than welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Can't wait to give you the answers to the questions you've been wanting. Everyone likes to be heard and then listened to. So we want you to set your dial to OMG on Thursdays at 7 o'clock p.m. Oh.